Well, hey, we are moving verse by verse through the Gospel of John. We just finished chapter 6, but we will begin chapter 7 next week. This morning, I want to bring you a message about freedom as we approach another 4th of July. In fact, I would like to talk to you about two types of freedoms today. They have much in common, though they are distinct, and both came at an enormous cost. There are a lot of things in our culture that are free. There are free prizes just for showing up, free meals, free rides, free advice, free TV. But freedom itself is not free. It costs something far greater than money. The freedoms that we enjoy in this country came as a result of the ultimate sacrifice, the laying down of someone's life so that we might enjoy ours. This is called personal freedom. And it is the same with our salvation. The freedom we have as Christians came about because Jesus laid down his life for us. It cost him something so that we might gain everything. This is called spiritual freedom. Today I want to look at these two freedoms as the 4th of July comes here in just a couple days and ask the question, how can we show our gratitude for both freedoms that we enjoy? The first freedom we enjoy, as I mentioned, is our personal freedom. Freedom is described as the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants to without hindrance or restraint. One of the great virtues of our nation, if not the greatest, is the freedom that is guaranteed to each of us as Americans. That's why people pour across our border and walk for thousands of miles to get here. We are unique. And if one can just make it here, freedom awaits them. If you were born here, it is a birthright. This birthright was given to us originally by the sacrifice of nearly 26,000 lives in the American Revolution. These lives consisted of children, teens, fathers, mothers, grandparents, preachers, businessmen and women, doctors, clerks, and so on. They decided that to live as free people was worth the price of death itself. Establishing a country where we could worship freely, speak freely, and walk as free people was more important than living, and so it is. On July 2nd, 1776, the Continental Congress voted in favor of independence. And 2 days later, delegates from the 13 colonies adopted the Declaration of Independence, a historic document drafted by Thomas Jefferson. The American Revolutionary War would not officially end until 1783. Again, the price for freedom was 26,000 American lives. But not all who were Americans were free. There were people born on this soil who were considered less than human, the American slave. The Civil War in the United States began in 1861, and after decades of simmering tensions between northern and southern states over slavery, states' rights, and the westward expansion, the election of Abraham Lincoln in 1860 caused the southern states to secede and form the Confederate States of America. Four more states soon joined them. The war between the states, as the Civil War was also known, ended in the Confederate surrender in 1865. The conflict was the costliest and the deadliest war ever fought on American soil, with some 620,000 soldiers killed, millions more injured, and much of the South left in ruin. In December of 1865, the 13th Amendment was ratified, and slavery was officially abolished. Again, those who gave their lives to end slavery came from all walks of life and all colors of skin. They died fighting for the freedom of all people. As we hurried into the 20th century, from American soil, the idea of freedom was exported around the world. But this too came at a staggering cost to American lives. In World War I, between 1914 and 1918, American military personnel that died from influenza, combat, and wounds were 116,708. In World War II, between 1939 and 1945, the total death count for all Americans fighting in that war amounted to 420,000. This was followed by the Korean War of 1950 to 1953, where 36,914 Americans gave their lives. In the Vietnam War, 1955 to 1975, 282,000 Americans and allies lost their lives. The number of Americans lost in all wars, including many that I have not mentioned, have a combined total of nearly 1.1 million. That number is staggering. Every one of those killed was somebody's son, daughter, brother, sister, father, mother, aunt, uncle, and so forth. All willing to lay down their lives so that we and others might be able to live in freedom. So indeed, freedom is not free, and that's the title of this morning's message. So how do we repay them? By preserving the freedoms that we still have. And this will take work, and it will also require nothing less than our total commitment. Right now, there are enemies of this land planning for our demise. They hate our freedom. They hate our God, and they hate you. They have infiltrated our schools, our universities, our courts, our military, our media, and even the churches. The shadows of socialism and communism are falling across our land, and unless we do something to thwart it, the very freedoms that we have to gather this morning may be in jeopardy in the years to come. Ignoring it will not make it go away. Pretending that it doesn't involve you will not make it skip past you. You are in the battle whether you know it or not. While engaging the battle and resisting the enemy of our freedoms on every front, it is also our duty to honor those who have paid the price for our liberty. We honor them the most not by salute, not by a moment of silence, or even a song, but when we are willing to lay down our lives to preserve our freedoms that they fought for. Let me ask you this morning, are you willing to lay down your life, if need be, so that your neighbor, your loved ones, and your children can keep their freedom? You need to decide that now. In a moment of crisis, when there's a gun pointed at you, you may waver and give up everything. I hope the answer is yes, because it will take no less bravery in the coming years, if not months, to stand against the forces of evil coming upon our land than those who laid down their lives in those wars that I just mentioned. I have a slide up here. Did anybody see this slide this week? It was a drag parade, a pride parade, but a drag parade. And their chant was, "We are coming for your children," over and over again. And folks, they weren't kidding. While this attack on our children is an assault on biblical morality with the intent to hypersexualize our most innocent, ultimately it is being supported by many in the government who deem it their duty to wrestle kids away from parental governance, handing it over to state governance where they will raise their children because they know best. This is foundational in the socialist mindset. It has been said that when we fail to walk as free people and stand up for the freedom for which our forefathers fought, we disregard the price that was paid and thus forfeit the rights and privileges of that liberty. Our freedom is not free. It cost something to get it, and it will cost something to keep it. It is more than the responsibility of our leaders and our soldiers. It is our responsibility to preserve it. What are we willing to do? Do you know that there are companies and businesses that pour monies into movements and organizations whose sole purpose and mission is to eradicate the church, Jesus, the family, and the Bible from the landscape of this nation? This one nation founded under God. The ironic thing is that we give our money to these companies for the sake of comfort and convenience. Oh, it's just coffee. Oh, it's just a shirt. It's just a phone. It's just a commercial. It's just a web browser. We think it's harmless. For the sake of convenience, we willingly give away our freedom and support organizations that seek our ultimate demise. Every penny we drop into the bucket will eventually fill that bucket and fill the pockets of the rich and powerful, those corporate giants who give their money to organizations that hate freedom or who believe that if we don't think as they think, then we are the extremist and we are the haters. Take a look at the WEF, that's the World Economic Forum. I've taught on that in here before. Take a look at their 2030 agenda. You can find it online. Just don't look at it right now. Look at the BLM homepage. They've changed it a little bit, but the original homepage, among others, they put their goals and their agenda right out front so that everyone can plainly know their objective. That is to bring socialism on our land, to bring down America, to strip us of our freedoms. They say it outright. And we continue dropping money in the coffers of these companies. We need to be vigilant about where our money goes. We need to be willing to sacrifice comfort and convenience for the idea of true freedom. Not some warped idea of equality and justice and a one world religion that strips us of the right to choose whom we will worship. People died for the freedoms we have. What are we willing to do to keep them? The second type of freedom that we have is spiritual freedom. This freedom was gained for us by the Son of God. It was no less costly to attain than our physical freedoms as Americans. To gain this freedom on our own, the Bible tells us, was impossible. We could not earn it, nor could we work for it. The price for this freedom was blood, because life is in the blood. And Jesus purchased our freedom when he died. And he guaranteed our freedom when he rose again from the dead. In Romans 8, 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Rome, writes, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made..." Note this, "me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. What is meant by the word free there in verse 2? In short, Christ has set us free from the power of our flesh and made us free to be the person that God desires us to be. Although the act of being set free results in pure freedom and liberty, we all have it if we're born again. We must understand that this new freedom is not a license to sin. In fact, true liberty for the believer is now living as we should and not as we please. And this is a cause for celebration. You see, before Christ, sin was dragging us to an eternal death. We were imprisoned and ruled by the prince of this world. We were compelled to obey our flesh as the enemy of our souls stirred our desires. But glory be to God, we have been set free by Jesus Christ to serve God in freedom. One might refute me and say, well, serving God, that sounds like we're still kind of prisoners. Yes, but not of our own demise. We are bond slaves. Bond slaves are a special type of slave, willing to be adopted by their owners because their owners provided for them. Paul, Peter, and James all thought of themselves as bond slaves. In our servitude to Christ, we find life. The bond slave would take their ear, and to the owner, when they were about to be set free, they would say, "We don't want to serve anybody else. We want to serve you." And they would place their ear against a wooden door, and the owner would take out something called an awl, A-W-L, and a hammer, and he would hammer their ear to the door. In that moment, there was a different kind of freedom. It was the freedom they wanted to serve because they were being cared for. We are bond servants of Christ. We want to serve Jesus because he cares for us, because of what he has done in our life. Another person might say, well, I'm not going to serve anybody. You already are, if that's you. You're serving yourself and your flesh, and by proxy, the enemy, because you're still a slave to sin. And one day you will stand before a holy God, and you will try to make a defense for your righteousness, but it will not be enough. True life is found in the blood of Christ and in servitude of the true King. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Just like we owe those who have died for our personal freedoms, we owe Christ for our spiritual freedom. Both freedoms have resulted in life. So what is the cost to us? How do we show our gratitude? Well, regarding personal freedoms, we must stand up for our freedoms. Write letters. Protest. Attend school board meetings. Get involved in politics. Pray for our nation and leaders to have the mind of Christ. How often are we praying for our leaders? Mostly it's curses, isn't it? We're speaking bad things against them. Like, oh, why? Well, I'm not my president. He is your president. He is your governor. He is your local city council. They are our leaders, and we are to pray that they have the mind of Christ. Pray that they get saved if they're not saved. The third thing is, be unwilling to let your voice be silenced by those who yell the loudest or by those who make threats. We don't serve a spirit of fear. We serve the God who has set us free. They want to get to us, they got to go through the Lord. How do we show our gratitude for our spiritual freedoms? Will we lay down our lives for Christ and be willing to pick up our cross and follow Him? What does that mean? It means die to self. When we feel like we should be in charge and make the decision for responding however we want, and yet to a situation, and yet we yield those rights to God's Word, we are laying down our lives. We are taking up our cross. We are saying, yes, Jesus, Your sacrifice counted for something. I will yield to Your governance in my heart and my decisions right now. The second thing we can do is love the unlovable. That's how we show gratitude to the Lord. By loving people we don't even like. That's hard to do. Well, as a Christian, I'm supposed to like everybody. No, I'm sorry. That other half of you that's still human doesn't like people, but that half that's being transformed, Jesus says, use that half and love everybody. Love the unlovable. It's how we show that we're thankful to the Lord for what He has done, because He died for everybody, not just us. He died for everybody. The third thing we can do is resist the devil. We resist the devil by taking the Word of God and slapping him around with it. No, devil, quit your lying to me. Quit lying. I'm not going to believe your lies anymore. The Word of God says this, and I'm going to choose to believe this. So get out of my life. Get off my kids. Get away from my spouse. Resist the devil. The fourth thing is absolute obedience to Christ. This can be a hard one. Hey, I want you to go help that person over there. What? I don't have any money. You got some money. You got a little bit in your pocket left over from last night. I don't have time. Oh, you got some time. You spent 2 hours on the computer yesterday. I was watching, by the way. Well, it's just not convenient. They're all the way on the other side of town. Well, it didn't stop you from driving over there 3 days ago. Money, time, and convenience. It can be hard to be obedient when the Lord is telling us something. But these are some of the sacrifices that we make to say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for what You've done in my life. Thank You for my freedom. Of course I'll give. Well, as I conclude this message this morning, I want to talk about the Korean War Memorial. Recently, I read a story about a family who visited our nation's capital. They had the opportunity to visit all of the national memorials in the Mall of Washington, D.C. But they said that the Korean War Memorial was particularly haunting. The memorial contained statues of a platoon of soldiers walking on patrol. Has anybody seen this in person? A few people. In each face, you could see the different emotions associated with the horrors of war. All the nations that participated in the Korean War are listed on a wall right next to these statues. And as you walk by these numbers and these statistics, you end up at another wall that is inscribed with the line, freedom is not free. So let me ask you this morning as we close, what will you do with your freedoms? What will you do with your freedoms? With the time that you have left, will you be grateful? Or will you be selfish? Will you share the message of true freedom with another that may not know it this morning? The true freedom in Jesus Christ. What does it look like in your context to lay down your life? Because your context will be different than mine. We can't look to a neighbor and says, well, they laid down their life but I can't do that. What is the way that you can lay down your life, not only for Jesus Christ, but for our nation. What does it look like? It may not be convenient. It may cost a little money. It may cost getting in the face of fear and saying, I'm not going to be fearful. You may have a louder voice than me. There may be more of you than me. But as Elijah said, look who's with me. Greater is he that is with me that is with than he that is within you. What are you going to do? This 4th of July, there's a movie out. It's been out for years called When We Were Soldiers. Has anybody seen that movie? It's not for the faint of heart. Stars Mel Gibson. When we watch movies, we watch them through a service called Clear Play. You can take out the language and anything you want, the Lord's name and stuff like that. So this movie, I don't actually know the rating of it, and I'm not recommended to just see it. But if you like war movies, I was moved as I watched part of that movie this week. I know this could be a Veterans Day message, but the cost of lives, of American lives for our freedoms is staggering. To see what these people went through, the families they left at home. It's intense. Maybe on the 4th of July it can be your family movie, When We Were Soldiers, Mel Gibson. So what are you going to do with the time that's left for you? What are you going to do with your freedom? How are you going to pick up your cross and lay down your life? That's something that we need to think about and contemplate. Because everything we have was not free. It cost. And it is our duties. It is our duty to show our gratitude. Amen. Let's stand and pray.